Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 reads, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life as everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
All right, well, that was a good chapter. That was Galatians 6. But if you could turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, I'll be reading from verse number 1. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the youth, Lord, that came this morning and their parents. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit and that you give me boldness and utterance. And I pray, Lord, that people would be attentive, Lord, and that they would be challenged, Lord, to do everything as unto you. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So you're there in Ephesians chapter 6. Look down your Bibles at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." And the title of the sermon this morning is "As Unto the Lord," as unto the Lord. And here we see Paul addressing the church at Ephesus and instructing, you know, the parents, the children, the employees, the employer. But he starts off by addressing the children and instructing them and telling them, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And I think this is something that's very important today, especially nowadays, because what we see is a lot of children being defiant, you know, to their mom and dad, not really taking them serious, kind of disrespecting them. And this is something that the world, in a way, promotes through TV shows, through, you know, ads, through public school. And this is, for the Bible says right here, "Obey your parents, for this is right." So what God sees as right and what God wants his children to do is to obey their parents. And what I want to pray, I want to preach this morning, it's just a reminder to the children, to the teens, to those of us that still live with our parents, that you need to obey your parents, but you need to do it as unto the Lord. And I'll get into that in a bit. And I want to start off by just as a way of introductions, just by saying that, you know, today we do see a lot of people having this problem, this matter of obeying their mom and dad. And the reason for that is because a lot of people have problem with what we call authority. And that's a word, you know, that nowadays people kind of budge at and they have a problem with, just because, you know, they have a problem with their boss, or even sometimes at home, you know, wives sometimes have problems with their husbands, or children with their parents. And even in church, sometimes members have problems with the pastor, but it shouldn't be so. And if you go to Proverbs chapter 30, let me just start off by saying also that, you know, as Christians, we need to respect authority. We need to submit to the authority that God has placed in our lives. You know, with the children, you know, your mom and dad are in charge at home. You know, your mom and dad are the ones that God gave to you to teach you, to raise you, to teach you the ways of the Lord. And, you know, that's something that we need to respect. At work, your boss is the one that's in charge. And, you know, whatever the rules are at work, you should learn to submit unto those rules. And at church, you know, as a Baptist church, in this church we have, you know, we abide by the word of God, but we also have some rules in place that every single person in this church, you know, needs to abide by. And spirit and being able to submit into authority is a way that we can see, you know, spiritual maturity. Because it's somebody that's immature when it's kind of hard for them to even submit. You know, if a wife is not able to submit to her husband, you know, what does that really say about her? It's more so her being immature. And, you know, kids, if they're not able to submit it to their parents, a lot of times because they're just immature, they got a lot of growing to do. So if you're there in Proverbs chapter 30, I want to start off by saying, you know, with the children, and I won't go long because we got to go to, what is it, Camelot? But in Proverbs chapter 30, let me read to you some verses there of how we see things today. It says, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that appear in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. So what is this saying? You know, there's a generation, even today and even back then, in every generation, there's a group of people, you know, that curse their parents, that curse their mom and dad, that they don't take their parents seriously. They don't really, you know, respect them, reverence them. They lightly esteem them. And the Bible here is saying, you know, these are people that are prideful, that have their eyes lifted up. Because a lot of times teenagers, you know, nowadays, and I don't know how it was back then, but they are very prideful. Especially, you can see this like in TV shows or in public setting, that they're very prideful and they think that they know more than their parents. And people get to a certain age where, you know, whatever instruction your mom and dad gives you, sometimes you don't really like it. You think that they're out there to get you, to, you know, forbid you from having fun. But no, God gave you your parents to help you in this life, to be able to instruct you, to be able to teach you the word of God. And as a parent, you know, I want the best what's for my children. I have 5 right now, the oldest being 6, the smallest one being half a year. And there's a lot of different age ranges here. But at the end of the day, every single parent here, whether you believe it or not, you know, wants the best for you. And what we want as parents is that, first of all, we want to see our children saved, right? We want them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want them to believe on the Lord. Secondly, we want them, you know, to serve God, to be able to be faithful to church, to be a faithful soul winner, to read their Bible. There's a lot of things that as a parent we desire for our children. And if you're, you know, young right now, you live with your parents, you know, your parents, they're here in this church. And they hear this kind of preaching all the time, and just know that they want the best for you as well. But go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. The Bible says, I read for you again, verse number 13, Proverbs chapter 30. It says that there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. And let it not be said of the children here or the teens, you know, that they're lifted up. You know, they get to a point in age where, you know, they think they know more than their parents. And it takes a lot of humility to be able to respect your parents, to submit unto your parents. And this morning I want to preach on the subject of why we even do that in the first place. Because obviously God commands it. This is something that he wants us to do. But if you're there in Proverbs chapter 20, let me give you another verse when it comes to disrespecting parents. It says, whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Go to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 24. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 6. The Bible says in verse number 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So children, if you want, you know, it to go well with you in this life, you want God to prosper you, to bless you, the Bible says that you need to obey your parents because it's the first commandment with promise. And God is promising you here that he's going to bless you with a long life. The Bible says that it's going to go well with you. And I think everybody here, you know, in this life wants to enjoy our time here on earth. Because obviously if you're saved, the moment that you died, you know, you'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ if you believe on him. But we're still going to be here on earth for quite a few time, you know, Lord willing. And in those years that we're here, we want God to bless us. We want God to, you know, help us prosper in everything that we do, whether it's at school or at work. Later on, when you get married in your marriage, you want God to prosper you. And one of the best ways to do that is by you being able to honor your father and your mother. But let me read to you in Proverbs chapter, I think I told you, go Proverbs chapter 28. Look down at verse number 24. It says, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." And there's kids like this today, you know, even at a young age, what do? They steal from their parents. You know, they go into their father's wallet or their mom's purse and they take money out of that. And that's, you know, that's not something that's uncommon. But the Bible says here, you know, curse it, you know, whosoever robbeth his father or his mother and say there's no transgression, the same as a companion of the destroyer. And these people that do this, they don't even see it as a big deal. And just know, if you do that, you know, that's a huge sin, you know, stealing from your parents. You know, God is not pleased with that. Let me just say also that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So no matter, you know, if your parents are not there, you think that they didn't see you, you know, God saw you. And if God sees everything, you know, he sees you from the moment that you wake up to the moment that you go back to bed. God is watching you at every time of the day. And the Bible says right here, you know, whoso robbeth his father or his mother, there's people like this that don't even see it as a big deal. And then again, let it not be said of the children in our church. We're trying to teach them right. We're trying to teach them to do what's right. We don't want anybody here to grow up to becoming a thief, right? Because it's just a dollar now as a kid, or it's just some candy, whatever you may think, that's not a big deal. But if you keep doing that, you develop a habit of stealing, of taking from your parents. And then these are the same children, because they go unpunished or they think that nobody saw, they grow up to becoming these thieves. You know, later on stealing from the store, later on stealing from people, just getting involved in all kinds of crime. Now go to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16. The Bible says, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen." So here the Bible says that, you know, cursed is him that lightly esteems his father and his mother, because God has placed your parents there in your life so that you can respect them, so that you can follow them, so that they can teach you the ways of the Lord. Like I said, as parents, you know, we want the best for our children. And a lot of the children here are probably younger than 12 maybe. And here's the thing, you're not always going to be that age. And right now, just be thankful you're in a home where God has blessed you to give you parents that, you know, read the Bible, that go to church, that go out soul winning. You know, that's something that not every child has in their lives. You know, I would say I don't have that in my life. You know, I didn't grow up going to church, or I didn't grow up with my dad, you know, bringing me to church or anything like that. But here you are in a church where you have your parents here, you have your mom and dad, you have your friends in church, and you're actually like homeschool. You get to spend more time with your parents. This is a different kind of living, and you've been very blessed. Just know that. So if you're there in Colossians chapter 3, look down at verse number 20. Colossians chapter 3, look down at verse number 20. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So here we see again this passage that is pretty similar to Ephesians chapter 6 where we started. And the main point I want to drive to this morning is the reason why we obey our parents, the reason why, you know, we respect our employers and do what's right. It's not necessarily because they're going to get on us. It's not necessarily because we're going to get in trouble with them, although we should do it for that reason. But because everything that we do in the Christian life, we should do it as unto the Lord. Because at the end of the day, if you're honoring your parents, if you're obeying your parents, the Bible says God sees that as you directly obeying him. If a wife disrespects her husband or doesn't obey her husband, who is she really disobeying? Her God, you know, at the end of the day. If, you know, the employer is not working hard, is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, at the end of the day, you know, they're stealing time, they're stealing money, but at the end of the day, they're disobeying the Lord. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6 again, just so we can read off right there. And look down at verse number 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And notice how in the following verses we see those three phrases. We see in verse number 5 that it says, as unto Christ. In verse number 6, we see as the servants of Christ. And then in verse number 7, we do see as to the Lord. And God is driving this point that whatever we do in this life, you know, whether it's at work, at home, whatever it is that you're doing in the Christian life, we need to do it as unto the Lord. Because God, at the end of the day, is the one that's watching us 24/7. Now, let me give you some examples of what this looks like at home. For the little ones, you know, if your parents, your mom and dad tells you to go throw the trash or clean up after you, if you're obeying them, that's as you obeying the Lord. You know, God is watching you, and you should have that attitude of saying, you know what, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. And when you develop this attitude that you're doing it as unto God, you know, you're going to do a better job at it as well. You know, if you only do it because people are watching you or you're afraid of what your dad might think or your mom, you're not really going to do that good of a job sometimes. But if you always have it in the back of your mind that God is watching you and God is pleased when you obey them, you're definitely going to do a better job. Now, go to Colossians chapter 1 again. So let me give you three ways that we can have this attitude or this mindset of having it, you know, doing everything as unto the Lord. Number one, we're going to do it by putting God first. And we have to give him the preeminence. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities of powers. All things were created by him, for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So what does God want from you? He wants you to put him first. He wants you to put him in the forefront of your mind. Because God, at the end, God, you know, being the creator, being the God of this universe, he should have top priority in our lives. You know, it shouldn't be our school, our friends, our job, you know, whatever else you do in this life. God should be at the very top. And if you have God at the very top, then everything else follows. You're going to do a lot better job being a better husband, being a better wife, being a better father, better child, better employee. And the way that you do that is by putting God first, making him the preeminent in your life. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And again, let me just repeat that where it says in Ephesians chapter 6, those three phrases that it says, as unto the Lord, as the servants of Christ, as to the Lord. It's just that reminder that God has for us that everything that we do in this life, we have to do it as unto the Lord. And when we don't have that attitude of having God first, yeah, sometimes things slip through the cracks. Sometimes we don't do that good of a job. We don't take it that serious. But if we purposely know that, you know, God is watching us and we're trying to do the best that we can to please the Lord, we're going to do a better job at it. Now, right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look down at verse 31. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So whatever it is that you do in this life, whether you're eating, whether you're drinking, you know, obviously not wine, but whatever you're doing, you need to do it to the honor and glory of God. And number one way to do it is by having God in the forefront of your mind, making him the preeminent one. Another way that you can do that, number two, is by having the right attitude. So if you're going to do things that as unto the Lord, you're going to have a better attitude. You need to have a better attitude when it comes to doing that. And here's the thing. A lot of people, when they don't have it in their mind that they're serving God with whatever task that they may be doing, maybe it's a miscellaneous task like picking up trash or, you know, cleaning your room, making your bed. If you don't have Christ in the forefront of your mind, you're not going to do that good of a job, honestly. So the Bible says that he doesn't want you to be lazy. You know, as children, we shouldn't be lazy. And if we have the right attitude and we're doing things as unto the Lord, we're going to be more diligent. We're going to be more, more effort into it. Now, if you're there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look down at verse number 10, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So whatever you're doing, do it with all your might. Do it with all your energy. You know, be diligent about it. A lot of people, I'm thankful for the people that help here at church, for the people that, you know, pick up the trash, you know, pick up after others, for people that help clean the restrooms and vacuum. All the things that they do, you know, I see them, and it looks like they do it as unto the Lord. You know why? Because they do a very good job at it. And they don't, you know, do it half-heartedly or anything like that. I see people moving fast, diligently, picking up the trash everywhere, and I'm very thankful for that. But that's the kind of attitude that we have to have in this church. You know, whatever we do, we're doing it as unto the Lord. Whether I see it or pastor sees it or anybody else sees it, God sees it. And a lot of times, unfortunately, people only do things if they're going to get rewarded for it, if they're going to get, you know, some title for it or some position. No, we need to just learn to do things because God is pleased when we're serving him. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. At home, you know, the young children, the way that you can have a right attitude is if your mom and dad tells you to pick up your plate, you know, put it away, clean up after yourselves, brush your teeth, whatever it is that they ask you to do, have the right attitude. You know, don't do it grudgingly. Don't talk back. Don't roll your eyes at your parents. Don't do any of that. You know, the Bible says that you should do it as unto the Lord. And if you have that in your mind and your parent or your mom and dad tells you to do something, you're going to have the right attitude. Now go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. It says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tended only to penury. You know, too much talking, the Bible says, ends up, you know, somebody ends up being poor by just talking, right? The talk of the lips. And the Bible says that in all labor there is profit. So no matter what you're doing, whatever your job is, those of you that work, you know, there's profit in doing the best that you can. A lot of times people only do what's expected of them, you know, the bare minimum. They don't try to do, you know, go above and beyond and do the second mile. And if you're at work and, you know, you let's say you applied for a, you know, cash register at a fast food place. There's so many things that you can do, even though that's your only title. You know, a lot of people, they look at that and say, well, I only handle the register. You know, I'm not trying to clean. I'm not trying to clean the restrooms. I'm not trying to learn how to cook or anything like that. But if you're doing it as unto the Lord and you're working as a cashier, you know, God would want you to do a better job. And if you're diligent, you know, you learn to do everything at that workplace. You know, people that work and are diligent at work, that's the way that they get promoted, because they're diligent, because they don't just do what's asked of them. They go above and beyond. And we want, as Christians, want to be, you know, 10 times better than other employees, because we have God on our side. We have the word of God. We have the wisdom of God. And so if we're diligent, God's going to look at that and he's going to bless us for it. So go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So the title of the sermon this morning is As Unto the Lord. And one of the ways that you can do that, first point being, is by putting God first, giving him the preeminence in our life. Number two is by having the right attitude when it comes to doing any task. Number three, the way that you can do that is by having the right mindset, having the right mindset. So if you're there in Romans 12, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor. Preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And again, we see this word here, not slothful in business. And as Christians, again, whatever it is that you do, do it wholeheartedly. Do it with all your might. Be diligent. Don't be slothful. One of the examples I could give is, like, if you're here, part of our church, and you're out soul winning, you know, when you're out there, be diligent. You know, don't walk slow. Don't drag your feet. You know, don't look like a Jehovah's Witness. No, you're out there on a mission. You're out there to get people saved. And you have to walk with purpose. And when, if you're walking with purpose, you're not dragging your feet. You don't have your hands in your pocket like all slow like this. And believe it or not, there's a lot of times when we're out there talking to teenagers, you know, that's how they walk, right? That's how, you know, they carry themselves, very like slothful. They're not standing upright or slouching. And we've seen this all the time. But as Christians, you know, we need to walk with purpose, be diligent, go out there because we're on a mission, and that's to get people saved. Another example I could give, if you're being slothful, you know, if you know you're going to go out soul winning, you know, one of the things that you should do is what? Bring a Bible, you know, bring some tracts. You know, don't expect for your partner to just have everything there for you, the tracts, an extra Bible for you. And, you know, that's happened to me, unfortunately, where I forget my Bible in a different car, or I forget the tracts. And, you know, don't be like that. And I'm sure everybody has gone through that, where we forget something. That's the exception, right? But don't let that be a habit where we're out there and we're just being slothful. We're not really going out there with intent. Now, if you're there in Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs chapter 24, oh, go to Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 22, verse 13. The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. And here we see a man that makes excuses. And as Christians, you know, this is something that we shouldn't do, just make excuses as to why we can't do something. If we're doing it as unto the Lord, what are we going to do? We're going to look for a solution. We're not just going to make an excuse as to why we can't get something done. And your employer, if you have a job, you know, that's something that he's going to appreciate if you're a problem solver. If you're just somebody that just finds ways to make excuses as to why you can't do something, you're not going to last long in any area of life. You know, if you are asked to do something, go clean the restrooms, and you're like, oh, I can't find the mop head. Just look for it, you know. Go around, ask somebody before you ask the boss. Just make sure you look diligently so that you can find it. Little things like that. You know, a lot of times people, even when it comes to smaller things, they just make excuses as to why they can't do it. Or let's say, I need you to be here at 8. I can't do it because I live far. No, you could do it. You just got to wake up earlier. Everybody that, you know, has that goal to be diligent, to do it as unto the Lord, they plan for it. And they don't just, you know, they're not whatever about it. And another way that we can do it too, if doing it unto the Lord, is like whatever ministry you have in this church, do it wholeheartedly, be diligent, be a problem solver. And I'm thankful again for everybody that serves in this church, whether it's with the parking ministry, the ushers, the counters, anything that we do in this church. I appreciate that people do it wholeheartedly, and they do it because they're doing it as unto the Lord. And if it were just up to them to do it because they're trying to please others, you know, God is not pleased with that. God is not going to bless them. Now go to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, along the lines about being lazy, the Bible says in verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now, how many have walked by a house that has the grass grown? Have you guys seen the grass? How many houses like that? No, I'm just playing. But we've all seen these houses, right? And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, it could be that they just don't have somebody to help them. They don't have somebody to maintain it for them. But a lot of times, if somebody's diligent, like I said, they're going to find a way to get it done. They're going to trim it. They're going to cut it. They're going to take care of it. And here the Bible's saying that somebody that lets it be overgrown or a field is like that, it's a sign, you know, that they're being slothful. And then it goes on to verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. So as Christians, you know, we should look at examples like this and try not to be that way. You know, you don't want to be somebody that just lets things fall apart, that doesn't get it done. You know, when things just get left undone, they tend to fall apart. And whether that's, you know, for women, you know, if you leave the laundry there, it's still going to be there when you come back. You know, it's never going to just go away. You know, you're not going to leave the laundry there, go out, come back, and it's going to be magically folded. No. If you leave it there and then you wash again and then you pile it up, that's going to be something, right, that's going to fall apart. As men, you know, and this is something that has happened to me, unfortunately, and yeah, you know, I should work at it, is, you know, taking care of your car, right? How many people have seen my car? Not actually. But if you don't take care of your car, it falls apart. You know, if you're not maintaining it, if you don't put oil in it, you know, whatever fluid that you need, it's going to fall apart. And the Bible saying here is that we shouldn't be like that. We should take heed and instruction so that we can avoid things falling apart. Now go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. So the lazy person, like I said, would just let things fall apart instead of taking care of it right away. And in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4, the Bible says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make it rich. And people that are diligent, they tend, you know, to be well off. And yeah, of course, God will bless them with their finances and all that. But anybody that's well off, or anybody that has some kind of money or that has a good job, you know, that's a sign that they were diligent. And that's something that everybody can do, right? If you want a job that pays well, you know, you have to have the skills for it. You can't just expect to have a good paying job and look at somebody else and say, hey, I want to make that kind of money, but you're not skilled like them. You're not diligent like them. You're just being slothful. You know, God's not going to bless you with that. And the way that we can do that is by doing everything as unto the Lord. Because if you're at work and you're doing it as unto the Lord, you know, you're going to be diligent and God's going to promote you and bless you. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm almost done right here. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, go look at verse number 1. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, again, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So number three, as I was saying, the way that we can do things as unto the Lord is by having the right mindset. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You know, one day our parents are no longer going to be here. And, you know, one day you're going to move out and you're not no longer going to be around your parents. And everything that they taught you, you know, you're going to carry that with you. And I'm sure every parent here is teaching their children good things. But one day they're not going to be living with us. They're going to be on their own. And we need to make it our duty to teach them to always do things as unto the Lord, to have the right mindset. And, you know, even if your parents, God forbid, they stop coming to church one day, as a child, you need to make it a goal to always be in church, because you're not here for your parents. You shouldn't be here for the pastor, although we do come here, obviously, because of pastor's preaching. But we need to do it ultimately as unto the Lord, because at the end of the day, God commands us to be in church. You know, God commands us to read our Bible. God commands us to be faithful until the end. And if we have that mindset that we're doing it for Him, then we're going to be more likely to stay in the fight. And I go to Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Go to Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15. So children, your parents do know more than you. You know, they've been around longer than you. They've been around the block more than you. And whatever they tell you, there's a reason why they tell you the things that they do, whatever advice that they give you. And sometimes we kind of like, not scoff at it, but we don't take them that serious. But later on, when you have your own children, you start to understand, you know, this is why my dad taught me this. This is why my mom told me to do things this way. Because then you understand that parents do know best. You know, parents do know what's right for you. And if you're there in Proverbs chapter 15, look at, I'll read to you from verse number 1. What says, "A fool despised his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." So only a fool will despise instruction. And you don't want to be known as a fool. You don't want to be known as somebody that doesn't, you know, pay attention, that doesn't listen to their parents. Because it says, "He that regard reproof is prudent." And as children, as teenagers, we need to learn how to take correction. We need to learn how to take instruction for our parents, because they're there to instruct us, to protect us from the dangers that are out there. And right now, a lot of you guys are young. Some of you guys are older. But obviously, you know, the more, as older as you get, and as once you start going out into the real world, then that's when you're presented with a lot of these temptations. And if we don't take heed as a child, and later on we start ignoring what our parents taught us, we start to fall, you know, in these dangerous situations and stuff. So go to Proverbs chapter 5. I'll give you an example of what one of them would be. Proverbs chapter 5. You know, if your parents tell you stay away from this girl, because they see something of that girl, you know, that they don't like, or they see something that you don't see, you should take heed to the instruction of your father and of your mother. If they tell you, you know what, I don't want you hanging out with those friends, it's for a reason. You know, they see something that probably you don't see. If they tell you, I don't want you going to these places, you know, late at night, I don't want you watching that, I don't want you listening to that, it's all for a reason, because, you know, they want to protect you. They want to keep your mind innocent. They want to, you know, make sure that you don't fall into sin. And here in Proverbs chapter 5, it has to do with the strange woman. It says in verse number 7, after it talks about the strange woman, "Hear me now, therefore, ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." It says, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel." And it says, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me." And here we see somebody that was clearly warned to stay away from the strange woman. And you can think about it in any way. You're warned to stay away from certain things, and when you disobey and you go ahead and do them, you reap the consequences. And here we have somebody that's mournful, that's saying, you know, at last, they'll mourn at last when their flesh is consumed. And they say, how have I hated instruction? And you don't want to be that person that at the end of the day, you were told what was right. You were told what you should have been doing. You didn't listen. And at the end of the day, you're just regretting it. Now you have to deal with the consequences. And the consequences are not going to go away. But instead, you're going to have that attitude. It's like, how did I hate instruction? And it could have all been avoided. That's the thing. A lot of things that happen in our lives could be avoided if we take heed to what our parents tell us. And we're going to take heed even if they're not there, because at the end of the day, we're serving God. We're doing things as unto the Lord. So even if your parents are not there and you're there by yourself in whatever situation, you should know that God is watching you. And if God is watching and you have that in your mind, you're going to try to flee from every situation possible. You think about like Joseph with Potiphar's wife. You know, he fled from that situation, just like the Bible says, flee fornication. Or you think about Daniel and his friends. You know, they did what was right, even though their parents were no longer there. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll end with this. You know, first of all, we said that everything that we do, we have to do it as unto the Lord. Number one way to do that is by making God preeminent in your life. Number two is by having the right attitude, not doing it grudgingly, not having a bad attitude about it. Number three, by having the right mindset, you know, knowing that everything that we do in this life, if we do it as unto the Lord, God will be pleased. And lastly, you know, we should know that we should do as unto the Lord, even if people don't ever thank you, even if people don't ever, you know, pat you in the back or you get some type of recognition, but God is pleased with you and God will reward you for everything that you do. Look down at verse number 5 in Ephesians chapter 6. Here's the last verses. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So when you realize that, you know, God in the end is going to bless you. Oh, let's read verse number 8. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So whatever it is that you do, when you're serving Christ, God will bless you for that. You know, God will reward you. You know, God is always watching. And whether you think somebody, you know, sees you or not, if you're only doing it for the recognition, then your motivation pretty soon is going to go away. Your reason for doing things is not going to last. But if you're doing it as unto the Lord, and you know God's going to bless you and he's going to reward you, you're always going to be in the fight. You're always going to do what's right. And I'll end with this, you know, knowing that, go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. The Bible says there, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And notice how it says at the end of the day, who do we serve? We don't serve man. We're not trying to please man. The Bible says that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, you're here now in this church. You're young. You have a long life to live, you know, Lord willing. And take advantage of that, because you're in a good church. You're in a church that has a lot of, you know, people, a lot of adults that care for you, that pray for you, that want the best for you. I myself, you know, I pray for you guys. I want you guys to succeed, you know, go further than what we're doing when you're our age. And you guys are got a head start. You know, you guys were born, some of you guys were born in this church, not at this church, but, you know, while you're being at this church. But, you know, that's a blessing. And if you're young and you're in church, take advantage of that. You know, you could do a lot more for God than what we're doing now, because you have many more years above us. But I want to encourage you guys, even the teenagers, you know, I'm thankful for Brother Christian and Robert. They're young. And I remember when Christian first came to church, he was like 15. Now he's like, what, 19? And he's still here. And I don't see his parents here. You know, he's doing it as unto the Lord. And I'm thankful for people like that. And there's other people that are here that come on their own, like Brother Robert, Brother Adrian, that they just come on their own. And at the end of the day, they do it because they're doing it as unto the Lord. So the sermon this morning is just anything that you do, whether it's minimal, whether it's big, you know, do it as unto the Lord. Number one, we got to do it because God, we need to make him first in our life. We need to have the right mindset, the right attitude, and we need to realize that God is the one that's going to bless us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. I pray, Lord, for every single child and teen and young person that's here present this morning. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless them and help them, Lord, in their Christian life of those that are saved. And I pray, Lord, for the little ones that are not saved yet, that they would get saved as they get older. And I pray, Lord, that they would always stay faithful to church, always be thankful, Lord, for being in church and being able to be here at a very young age. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless our church and help us, Lord, to reach more young people. Bless the remainder of the day and every activity that's going to happen this morning. Bless the food in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So turn your hymnals to Psalm 107. Praise the Savior. Psalm 107.
Psalm number 107. Sorry for reading the wrong scripture.